So the parable of the talents. Now, are there any kids out there who can tell me what a parable is? Does anyone know what a parable is? Is Ron a kid? Does he count? Yeah, you were a kid. That's all that means. Maybe Ron will have to tell us because no one else is saying. Do you know what a parable is? Ah, it's a story that teaches us something. Well done, Sophie. That's very, very good. So, yes?
When I was a little girl, they told me it was an earthly story with heavenly meaning.
Oh, very good. I think you two, winners. Very good, Heather. Actually, do you know, my first ever time that I came to church and I went out to kids' church, Heather was running it. So there we go. And I only just remembered that right then when you said that. Awesome. All right. So the story of the talent. So what I want you to do, it's a parable. So as we are telling the story, let's see what we can learn from it. Yeah? Yes. That's where you say yes. Right. So I am the master. And I would like to say that in this story, the master represents God, but please don't confuse me. I am not God. I just thought I should say that. Not very close. Not very close at all. Right. So the master, who we can say represents God, gave his servant some talents according to their ability. So to the first servant, he gave 5 talents. See these talents here? There's 5 of them. Whoa. Sweet. Literally sweet. To the second servant, woohoo, 2 for you. And 1 for you. Oh, you're so eager. Awesome. They are about to, oh, yes. All right, go take your seat. So we have 3 servants. You can go sit down. Go sit down in Nan, honey. Adrian's not here today. Joel's at home sick. And so I've been trying to make sure, oh my goodness, I'm going to be on stage. Going to make sure someone's with my children. Awesome. So The master gave the servant some talents. So I want to ask you, my first question for you this morning is, what have you got? What have you got, Talia? You've got Talia and Sophie. What have you got? So often we hear this said, what is in your hand? So I'm asking you today, what is in your hand? That saying actually comes from Exodus when Moses had his staff. And he said to God, I don't know how I can approach Pharaoh. And God said to him, what is in your hand? And he had a staff. And with that staff, God did heaps of miracles. So all of the plagues came when he held his staff up. The Red Sea parted when he had his staff up. Water came out of a rock when he hit it with a staff. Like, all of these amazing things happened because of what he had in his hand. And you think you'll find if you look at most of the miracles in the Bible, God always used what the people had in their hand at the time, whether that was much or whether that was little. If you think of David and Goliath, he had a sling and 5 stones and he brought down Goliath. Amazing. If you think of Jesus when he fed the 5,000, they had 5,000 men and probably more because of women and children as well to feed. And they had 5 loaves and 2 fish. And Jesus used what the little boy had in his hand and he fed all of them. So I'm asking you, what do you have in your hand? That is not just money, although it is in the story, but it includes your skills. It includes all of your resources, whatever they might be. It includes your personality. It includes even just things like a smile. Everyone can smile and we've got that. It includes the things that you do. And I want to make sure no one mistakes this. In the story, see, I gave my 3 servants, there they are, little chocolate money. But in the story, a talent, which he gave out, is worth $1,000, which is so much. And so even the servant who got 1, that's a lot of money that they were entrusted with, huge amount. And I want to let you all know that everything that you have to bring, that you've got in your hand, even if it seems so insignificant, like a smile, is actually so important and so valuable, and God can use that. So, what have you got in your hand? Have a think about that. Rightio, so I need 2 of my servants to come back up. They're coming, they're getting there. All right, so the next thing that happened in the story, who can remember what happened next in the story? Uh-oh, we're losing some talents. All right. So the master said to the servant with the talents, what have you brought and what do you have? How many talents do you have now?
Say it really loud.
10.
10 talents. Can you show everyone? Woohoo! Well done. So much chocolate. And the master said, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few and I will entrust you with many, which is really cool. All right, and so the servant who had two, how many do you now have?
4.
Whoa! Well done. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few, I will entrust you with many. Very good, thank you, helpers. My second question is, so the first one was, what have you got in your hand? The second is, how are you using it? How are you using it? Thank you, you can sit back down again. Thanks, Caleb, he was really nervous about coming up. So he's done a really good job. So, how are you using what you have in your hand? The interesting thing to note here is that the master was the one who gave the money to the servants to begin with, and they had it for ages. The master was gone for quite a while. But the money actually never belonged to the servants. They were the servants. It was his money. And it's exactly the same for us. Every single thing that we just identified before that you might have, so whether that is, you know, a smile or whether it's actual money or whether it's a kind act or whether it's, you know, an ability to make things or draw things or cook things or whatever it might be, it doesn't belong to us. Those resources weren't given to us for us. They were given to us for God's kingdom and for his glory. And that's how he expects us to use them. And if we want to be well done, if we want to be the good and faithful servants, then we need to actually do something with what we've got. I brought with me, maybe Ron could pick it up for me because it's quite heavy. Yes, thank you very much. I brought with me here in my suitcase something that I used to use a lot when I was younger. Anyone who remembers me from back then know what it might be? I think Mum recognises the suitcase. Whoa. I've got two pairs of these. Roller skates. I am not rolling on the stage. It will damage everything. Probably my bones more than anything else. Rightio, my skates. I brought these to show you because 15 years ago, can you believe it's that long? I used to use these to skate in artistic skating competitions. And I was reasonably good at it, not the best, but reasonably good at it. But do you know what's happened to these over the last 15 years? They have literally just been sitting in my suitcase in a cupboard doing nothing. And what's the point of skates? Especially, you know, these ones over here. These wheels and bearings alone are worth $800 and they sit in my cupboard doing nothing. It's a complete waste of what, you know, they're intended for. And it's exactly the same with us. When God gives us resources and expects us to use them for his kingdom and we don't do anything with it. I'm looking at my phone. So the truth is that there is a whole world out there full of people who don't know Jesus yet, a whole world out there full of issues that are awful, really. So many people who don't have joy, who need him in so many ways. And if we don't use what God's given us for his glory, then how are they ever actually going to come to know him? How are they ever going to hear about him? So I want to encourage you that your skills and the things that God has given you are so valuable, but only if you actually use them in the way that he asks us to use them, which is for his glory and to extend his kingdom. And the truth is that when he sees that he can trust us with what he gives us, and when we use it, he will entrust us with more, and then we can use that to bless others and more and advance his kingdom. And that's who I want to be, the good and faithful servant. In 1 Peter 4, verse 10, it says this. 1 Peter 4:10. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. So I want to ask you, what do you have in your hand? And how can you use that, even today, to make someone's day better and to shine God's light and his love into their situations? So what have you got in your hand and how are you using it? All right, one last servant needs to come back up. Hello, my servant. Do you know, this servant is going to be very tall, much taller than me soon. Her feet are already way bigger than mine. It's very scary. What did you bring back, my servant? Do you remember how many she started off with? And she still only got one. Oh dear. Do you know what it says in the book? It says that the servant was afraid and hid it. I'm not going to be able to look at her face, otherwise I'm just going to laugh. She's being such a good, serious, afraid actor. Oh, dear. It says the servant was afraid of his master and he hid it. He did nothing with it. And the master says to him that he's a wicked, lazy, or he in the story, a wicked, lazy servant. My goodness, I don't want that to be me. I really, really don't. And he gives the one that he did have to the one who had 10. Hey, Caleb, can you catch? Ready? I wanted you to catch that, honey. There you go. I'll take the patch. He thought I said patch. And it's time for him to take his patch off, as it happens anyway. So, oh, dear. All right. The servant was afraid. Thank you, Sophie, for your very good acting. Sorry about the skates. You know, in the story, it's not that he was being unfair to the servant at all, although at first reading it might appear like that. But actually, it's just that the servant didn't do what he was expected to do with the money that he was given. And I don't want that to be me. So I want to ask you, third question, what are the obstacles? What is it that stops us from actually getting up and doing what it is that God's called us to do with the things that we've got? For the servant, it was fear. And I know for me personally that fear is often a big thing that stops me from getting up and doing things, especially because I'm a bit of a perfectionist, a fear that I might not be able to do it to the standard I expect of myself. And also a belief that there are people out there who can do it better anyway. And so for me, those are the things that I can identify that I need to fight against and believe against. But what is it? It might be fear, it might be doubt, it might be unbelief. It might just be being too busy with other stuff, being too focused on other things that aren't as important but seem important. It might be laziness, like in the story. They called him a lazy servant. But whatever it is, ask God to help you overcome that, to identify it and to overcome it. We don't have a huge amount of time to go into how to do that. But for me, I have found these things very, very useful. The first thing is to grab a hold of the promises that God has in his word. Find them. If you don't have any, I say this almost every time I speak, because I think it's so important. See what it is that God is telling you in his word and hold it and believe it and speak it and declare it out, because it's so important. In Hebrews 10:23, it says that he who promised is faithful. And I can tell you, I've seen that in my own life so many times, and it's the same for you. So grab a hold of his promises, pray and worship him. We sang this morning in that song that we sing our fear into praise, basically. We turn our fear into praise. Praising is such a big thing for getting rid of fear. And it actually says in Philippians 4 verse 7, 6 and 7 rather, Philippians 4 verse 6 to 7, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. There it is, prayer, petition, and the thanksgiving is so important. Present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So, so important. When I used to feel really afraid, would actually say, okay, thank you, God, for this, and thank you, God, for that, and thank you for this, and thank you that you're bigger than this that I'm worried about. And every time I'd feel the peace of God. So prayer and worship. Yep. Also, talk to somebody that you trust about it. Be accountable to someone and so that you can, you know that you're not alone. That's part of the battle. Know that you're not alone in it. And if you need to as well, really important to get professional help if that's what you need. But ask God to help you identify the obstacles that stop you using what he's given you for his glory. And then trust that he's going to do amazing things through you, because he will. So as we finish up, I want to challenge you guys to ask God even today, God, how can I use today what you've given me for your glory? How can I use today what you've given me to help make somebody's day better, to shine your light into somebody's life? And if you ask that every day, I reckon God's going to give us amazing opportunities, because honestly, our resources and skills, especially here in Australia where we have so much, you know, they're limitless. They really are. Even if you have nothing, we still have the words that we speak and we still have the thoughts that we think. Like, we've still got so, so much. So let's be good and faithful servants with the things that God's given us, and not wicked and lazy servants who just sit back and do nothing with what God's given us, right? Because it's all about Him in the end, and it's all about His glory and His kingdom advancing. That's right.